Today's daf is Becharos daf Mem Dalet. Today we have a triple sponsorship of the daf. The daf is sponsored by Jack and Jeanette Blumenkopf, my aunt and uncle, in honor of the yard site of Jack's mother, my wife's grandmother, Chana Hendel Bas Avram Yosef, Allah Shalom, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. And also it is sponsored in honor of one of our Daf Yomi members. It is not sponsored by him. It is sponsored in honor of one of our Daf Yomi members by his brothers-in-law in honor of his birthday. So happy birthday to the anonymous Daf Yomi member. And also by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank all three sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding at the mission at the very end of Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and the mission is going to continue to discuss what this entire parak is about, is the various mumin that would passel an Adam, that would passel a Kohen from doing the Avodah. So the mission is going to discuss the mumin in that relate to a person's eyes, to the eyes of the Kohen, and then we're going to have the Gemara is just going to go into detail about all of those mumin. And then in the middle of Amud Aleph, we're going to have Mishnah that talks about mumin that relate to the size of a person's evarim that could be considered a mum, including a person whose body is larger than his evarim, meaning it's disproportionate in terms of his body and his evarim. Then on the top of Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to continue to go through unusual things in a Kohen's body that would be considered a mum, that would passel him for avodah. One of those things is going to be kresel tzava. So the Gemara is going to discuss how that happens, how a person suffers from such an illness. And the Gemara is going to talk about how withholding meraglayim for a person, stopping himself to urinate, to go to the bathroom, can cause a person to become sick and can cause him to become infertile. And the Gemara is going to talk about the sakana of stopping oneself from going to the bathroom, not only from urinating but from defecating as well, and how that could be dangerous as well. So that will take us; those discussions will take us all the way to the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis, or the second class Mishnah. Then the second class Mishnah is going to talk about, since the Torah talks about mumin that passel by Kohanim, it says Murach Ashech. The Mishnah is going to bring a machlokas, but what exactly that mum means, meaning there's a particular mum that's mentioned in the Torah, but it's unclear what in the world it means, so the Mishnah is going to discuss what that mum means. Okay, so let's begin. We're at the Mishnah, the last Mishnah on the page, on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Hecharum Pasul. A charum is pasul to do the avodah because that is considered a mum. Ezehu charum. What is a charum? Hakochel shtei einav ka'achas. That if he wants, he's able to put makchel, which is a type of eyeliner or eyeshadow, on both of his eyes at one time. He can take one stick and put it on both of his eyes at once because there's nothing in between his two eyes. There's no nose that is being bolate from between his two eyes like a normal human being would have. So now the Mishnah goes through other mumin that relate to a person's eyes and repasal kohanim for avodah. We're about to have a list of seven mumin. Shtei einav lamala, both of his eyes are higher up, set higher up on his face than a normal person. Shtei einav lamata, both of his eyes are set lower down on his face than by a normal person. Einu achas lamala veinu achas lamata, one of his eyes is set higher on the face, one of his eyes is set lower on the face. Roe es achedev es aliyah ke'echad, his eyes are located in the right place but they're pointing in different directions. One of them is looking up and the other one is looking down. Sachi shemesh, someone who's not able to see where the sun is shining because his eyes are very sensitive to bright light. Vahazagdan, someone whose eyes look different from each other, or his eyebrows look different from each other, even though they normally, in a normal person, they would look the same, like one eye is black and the other eye is blue, or one of his eyebrows is very, very thick and the other one is very thin. And Vahatziran, someone whose eyes are very round, all of those moments pasul kohen for avoda. Vishanashu, Risei Einav, possible name Maris Ha'ayin. But someone whose eyelashes fell out is not considered a Balmum, but it's possible because of Maris Ha'ayin. That just doesn't look good. Tosfos points out that it sounds that Ris over here is the eyelashes that would come out when a person cries a lot. The Gemara tells us in Masech Sanhedrin about Rabbi Gamliel that he didn't have Risei Einayim because he used to be Morid Ma'os when his neighbor's son died, because his neighbor was an almana whose son died, and she used to be very tzibrachin, and she would cry at night, and Rabbi Gamliel would hear her crying, and he would be mitzarif in her tzar, and he would cry as well, ad shenashu risei enov, to the point that his eyelashes fell out. So that's the but we do have a discussion earlier in Daf Lamed Ches where we find a ris that's nikav or nistak. That doesn't make it sound like it's eyelashes. That makes it sound like it's the eyelids. So one or the other, but Pashtus is in the Mishnah over here that it's the eyelashes, so it's possible because of Maris Ha'ayin. So it says Maritan Rabbanon Charum, when it says Charum amongst the Mumei Kohanim, it's Shechot Moshe Kua, it's that a person's nose is sunken in, and that's why the Mishnah says that it can, he could color both of his eyes at the same time. Chot Mo Solad, Chot Mo Boleim, Chot Mo Notev, Minayin. How do I know other problems with his nose are also going to be a mum if he has a very short nose, or he has closed up nostrils, or he has a very long nose to the point that it dips below his lips, below his upper lip. So how do I know that those are also considered mumin? So Tamalomar O Charum, because the pasuk says the word O, that tells me other problems with his nose as well. Rabbi Yosi Omar in Charum Ela Kochel Shtein of Kachas. No, Charum only means that if he's Kochel Shtein of Kachas, that his nose is not bullet at all, that it's Shakua, it's sunken in his face, and therefore he's able to put eyeliner on both eyes at the same time. So Amrlo Hiflakta. So the Chum said to Rabbi Yossi, you designated a shear to make it to make the, only that a charum ela aval pi she'eno koch l'shein of ka'achas. I mean, that's an exaggeration to say that he has to be able to color both of his eyes at one time. No, even if he's not able to do that, but it's still his nose is not normal. It doesn't jut out as much as normal. That's also considered a charum. Shtein of l'mal v'shtein of Lamata. Then we said that if both of his eyes are too high, or both of his eyes, all it said, I mean, we translate it that way because we translate it like the Maskan and the Gemara, but all the Mishnah said was two eyes above and two eyes below. So what does that mean exactly? So my shtein of Lamala, shtein of Lamata, ilem shtein of Lamala, dechazi Lamala. If shtein of Lamala means that he sees upwards, meaning his eyes are always facing up, they're always looking up, shtein of Lamata, dechazi Lamata, and shtein of Lamata means that his eyes naturally only look down. So einu achas mala veinu achas mata dechazi einu achas mata veinu achas mala, and then einu achas mata and einu achas mala means that one eye is looking up and the other eye is looking down. It's like cross-eyed, but instead of side to side, it's one going up and down. So heinu ro sachid vesaliyah kachas. Well, then we have a problem, because then the two of the mumin mentioned in the Mishnah are the same exact thing, because the Mishnah also lists ro sachid ro sachid kachas, which that makes it sound like he's looking up and down at the same time. Ella, so that can't be what shtein of lamaila and shtein of lamata means. It must be shtein of lamaila to kaimel lamaila, that his eyes are set higher up on his head than a normal person. Shtein of lamata to kaimel lamata, that the eyes are set lower down on the head than a normal person's eyes. Einu achas mala veinu achas lamata to kaimi einu achas mala veinu achas lamata, that the eyes are set, one of them higher up on the head and the other one lower down on the head. V'kaimi kisidra nami v'ro'as achid v'zaliya ka'achas. And then that last mum that we mentioned is, if the eyes are set in the normal place on the person's head, but he's cross-eyed. One eye is looking up, and the other eye is looking down. Minan imili, how do I know that all of these things are actually a psul, that are actually considered a mum by a kohen? Titan rabbanim, because we have a brisa that it says, by mumei adam, it says be'eno, it says dako tavlul be'eno. So we learn from there that it could have said dako tavlul, and we know that all these mumin are only nogea to the ayin. So why does the Torah have to say be'eno? So it's from that extra word that we say kol masha be'eno. From the extra word be'eno, we say that it means any issue that relates to the eyes. So mikan amru, based on the fact that any based on the fact that it says Be'eno, so we say that anything unusual in the eyes is going to passel, whether it's in the place the eyes are located on the face, or whether it's like Shtein of Lamata, Shtein of Lamaila, Eino Achas Lamaila, Eino Achas Lamata, or whether it's about how the eyes are functioning. Or he's talking to one person, and the person on the other side of the room thinks he's looking at him because he's cross-eyed. His eyes are veering to the other direction, even though he's trying to look straight at the person that he's talking to. So those are different types of movement of the eye, but they're all included from that extra riboy in the pasuk of Be'eno. So Tan Rabbanan, we have a Braisa tells us as follows. The pasuk says that that a blind person is also a mum. So Bein Suma B'Shtei Einav, Bein Suma Ba'Achas Me'Einav. That means whether he's blind in both eyes or blind even in one eye. Chavarvar, someone who has some sort of eye illness where it looks like he has white dots in his eye. V'Mayim HaKavuin, or water pours out from the eyes on a constant basis and it prevents him from seeing properly. Minayin, how do I know that those things are movement that possible coming? Tamil Omar, ish iver. The extra word ish is a riboy, and that tells me that even though he's not blind in one eye nor blind in both eyes, but he has these other eye issues, that's included from the word ish. So I'm a Rava Lamali to Kats Rachmana ish iver dak tavul be'eno. Why does it have to say both ish iver and dak tavul be'eno? And why can't we learn from one pasuk all of these problems with the eye? Meaning we just said that from the word be'eno, so we darshan a certain set of problems with the eye. From the word ish, we darshan a separate set of problems with the eye. Why not just have one drasha? We'll darshan all the problems with the eye from both of them. Says Mar Tzrichi. Now we need both ribuyim in the pasuk. Di kasvrachmana iver. If the pasuk would have said iver that a blind person is a balmum, whether he's blind in both eyes or one eye, mishum t'lasnu klal, I would say that because those eyes are not functioning at all. So if the eyes aren't functioning at all, that's a very significant mum. Meaning lasnu klal means he doesn't have them. But if you have and it doesn't function at all, and meaning an eye has one job, and that's to see. And if it doesn't function at all, that's ki'ilu that you don't have. Right? I think that's what the Rishonim say, that if a bird's wing is broken, that's considered to be a bird can't fly. It's considered to be mechusar ever, because the wings only function. It's not just that it's broken. Its only function is to be able to fly. So it's like it's chaser. It's like it's not there. Aval chavarvar v'mayim akavuim di'isnu bei, but chavarvar v'mayim akavuim, where it's still able to see, it's just that it's not able to see as well, low. So I would think that's not considered a mum. Kas rachmana, ish. That's why it has to say ish iver to be marba a chavarvar v'mayim akavuim. Vi kas rachmana, ish. And if it only would have said ish, I would have said that only chisaron like chavarvar v'mayim akavuim are included in the category of mumim mishum tloka chaziklal, because through chavarvar v'mayim akavuim he's not able to see entirely. Aval machsuraisa, but in a way where his ri'iya is only nifgam a little bit, but it's not that he loses the ability to see. I guess he's what they call legally blind, but not actually blind in the fullest sense. So lo, I would think that's not a balmum. So kasra achmana dak. That's why the pasuk has to say dak, which is like a cataract over the black of the eye that causes him to not see as well. Vi kasra achmana dak mishum dumachasran. And if it only would have said dak, I would say that it's only pogim the ri'iya a little bit avum valbalisa. But when there's no chisaron in the ri'iya at all, there's just like this white spot that goes into the black of the eye. So, but it doesn't affect his sight. Lo, I would think that that's not considered a mum, because anything that doesn't affect his sight is not considered a mum. I would think kasrachmana tivalul. That's why the pasuk says tivalul. Vi kasrachmana tivalul. And if it would have said tivalul mishum demevalbulan, because that messes up what the eye is supposed to look like. Avul mishum mishanyusa. But when the chisaron is only an unusual placement of the eye, that it's not in its normal spot, or it's not looking in the right direction, lo kasrachmana be'eno. That's why I need be'eno to tell me that. Amrava hilkach. Since we explained how we darshan all these different movement of the eyes, kol machmas kihiyusa asya me'ish. Anything that's about the fact that the guy can't see is derived from ish. Like we learn chavarvar maimakavuim from that riboy. Machsuraisa, anyone whose eyesight is affected but not gone, not completely gone, he's able to see a little bit. Midak, we learn from the word dak. Mivalbalisa, when there's no problem with the way he sees at all, it's just a problem in the tsura of his eye. Mitvalul, we learn that from tvalul. Mishanyusa mi beeno, and where there's no shinoi in the tsura of the eye itself, only in the placement of the eye or in the way that the eye is looking, that we learn from be'eno. Sachi shemesh, then we mentioned in the Mishnah that someone who can't look at the sun, satanra sach means to look, right? What was it? Sara, right? It was sachsa, because I call sach in biafia, everyone used to gaze at her beauty. So sachi shemesh is probably lashon sagi nohar, that it's not that they actually look, it means that they can't look at the sun. So Tanya Rav Yosef, Sage Shemesh, it means someone who, Sunny Shemesh rather, someone who hates the sun, meaning he's not able to look in anywhere that the sun is shining. It's just so overpowered, the light of the sun is so bothers his eyes. Zigadyan, which is a mum that passes B'Kuhuna, we say Machvi Rav Huna, Rav Huna showed on his eye, and the eye that's across, that he was trying to show that Chad Mididan V'Chad Mididu, that one eye like my eye, the normal eyes, and one eye like the person that's sitting across from me. And one of the people sitting across from him was Rabbi Yehuda, who had unusual eyes. V'ikbed Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was not particularly pleased that he used him as a demonstration of what a mum would look like by saying one of my eyes and one of his eyes, that would be the definition of this mum. So Meisvei, so they ask on Rav Huna, Shachvana Shegvinov Shochvim Zagdom Echot Shachar Vecha Lavan, that Shachvana means that his eyebrows are so long that they rest over his eyes, and Zagdum is that one of them is black and one of them is white. So it sounds like there's a chilik between the eyebrows, but a chilik between the eyes sounds like it's not a mum. Only a chilik between the eyebrows is a mum. So Tana Kol Zuga Delo Shavi LaDadi Zagdum Karilei. Now, anytime there's any imbalance between the two eyes, whether it's in the eyebrows or whether it's in the eyes themselves, that would fit this category. Hatsiran. Then we said in the Mishnah, the mum called a tziran. So it says, where ain of trutos, if his eyes are round, vitziranios, or even more round, perfectly round, domos, they tear a little bit, dolphos, they tear more, or tordos, they tear a ton. All of these are considered a mum. So tana, hazadir va'alof and va'atumyan are considered bale mum. And so the Gemara explains what they are. Zavir de mazorene, that his eyes jump from one side to the other. Lof and dunafish and zife, that the eyelashes are super long. Tamin shatamu zifav, that he doesn't have eyelashes. So vahani gabi mumin tani luhu, there's a psul of tomion that he doesn't have eyelashes. Is it really mentioned amongst the mumin with all the rest of the bali mumin vatanan? But we have a mishnah shenosh risein of pasul mirei maris ayin, that doesn't belong with the rest of the mumin. That was mentioned at the very end of the mishnah as what we called yesterday category 3, that it's only mishum maris ayin. It's not one of the real mumin midaraisa. So it's real kasha hadi shtayr gardume. It depends whether the roots still remain from the eyelashes or not. When we say that it's not a balmum, it's at least the roots of the eyelashes are still there. When you say it is a balmum, it's entirely gone. The eyelashes, there's no remnant of the eyelashes left. Okay, weiter in more mumin. Ein of gedolos kshalegel. If his eyes are large like that of a calf, or ketanos kshalavas, or small like that of a goose, so then it sees pasul avoda because he's not shava bizarro shalaron, he's not like all the other kohanim. His eyes are so unusual. Gufo gadol me'evarav, if his body is disproportionate with his limbs, o katan me'evarav, in either direction, either his body is too big for his limbs or his body is too small for his limbs. Chotmo gadol me'evarav, his o katan me'evarav. His nose doesn't fit the rest of his face, so that's a psul avoda because he's not shava bizarro shalaron. Hatsomim v'hatsomeya ezu tsomeya kol sha'aznav ketanos v'hatsomim kol sha'aznav domos l'svog. If his ears are very small, or his ears are like shriveled up like a sponge, svasu el yono odefes al tachtona, if his upper lip goes over his bottom lip, hatachtona odefes al yono, or his bottom lip goes over his upper lip, harezemum, that's also considered Rilamum. Vishanashu Shinav Pasal Mipne Maris Ha'ayin. If his teeth fell out, he's Pasal Avoda, even though it's not really a Balmum, but that's an issue of Maris Ha'ayin. Amar Rav, Moshe Rabbeinu, Eser Amos Hayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was 10 Amos tall. Shanem Arifros is Oel Al Mishkan. Mi Praso, who's the one that spread the Oel over the Mishkan? Moshe Rabbeinu Praso. He's the one that was able to do it, because the Pasuk says, Vayakom Moshe as a Mishkan. Uksiv, Eser Amos Arach HaKeresh. And yet the beams were 10 Amos high. So how is he possibly able to put the tablecloth, so to speak, over such a high table, meaning over a 10 Amos tall Mishkan? How's he able to put the curtains over it? So the Gemara understands that the shear of 10 Amos of Moshe Rabbeinu is measured in the Amos of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So Amalei Rav Simi, meaning an Amma, is defined as from the elbow to the fingertip of the middle finger. So Moshe Rabbeinu's Amma, if he was 10 Amos tall and was proportionate, then 10 Amos is way bigger than what we would call 10 Amos. So Amalei Rav Simi Barchiel Rav, Im Kain, if you're saying right that Moshe Rabbeinu's Guf was 10 Amos larger, meaning was 10 times the size of his elbow to the tip of his middle finger, most of us are 3 Amos tall or 4 Amos tall, depending exactly how you measure. It's a discussion throughout Shas. So that's the right proportion. So Amar Leiv Simi Barchiya LeRav Im Kain, if he was really 10 of his own Amos tall, Asis LeMoshe Rabbeinu Balmum, then you've made Moshe Rabbeinu into a Balmum. It's not Gufa Gadol Me'Avarv or Katar Me'Avarv, because that would mean that his body is so much bigger than his limbs, because his Amma is only 1/10 the size of his body. Amar Leiv Simi Ba'Amma Shel Keresh Kamina. I'm not saying that he's 10 of his own Amos. Obviously, his arms were very large also because he was so tall. He's 10 of a normal person's Amos. When we measure the Amos of the Krashim, so we say that it was 10, that's how it was 10 normal Amos, and he was 10 of those Amos. Chot Magadol, we then said if a person has a very large nose, Tana Ke'etzba Ketana, that the Chotam is very long and is as wide as the Etzba Ketana, as your pinky is long, then that's considered a mum. Hatzime matzimeya, so tana af hatzimeach. Even a tzimeach is considered a mum. So lo avi yad rabbanon my tzimeach. The rabbanon didn't know what that meant. You tell me a tzimeach is a mum. What is that? Shamalu hutaya davakamer manda by tzimeach. So they heard a certain merchant that was announcing, anyone want to buy tzimeach? Vishtakach gadya chaziza. And they saw that he was selling a gedi who had very long ears to the point that they were drooped over. So they learned from there that tzimeach, that it says by an adam, is someone who has very long ears that are droopy because they are so long. So that's another type of mum. Now the Gemara is going to bring memros of Rav Chista about chisronos in the animal's horns that will pasul gabi mizbeach, and we'll discuss whether they're real mumin to be poda on their account. So it says Gemara, Amr Rav Chista, eiz she'in la karnayim, v'rachel she'yesh la karnayim, an eiz that does not have karnayim, or rachel that does have karnayim, even though normally an eiz would have karnayim, or rachel would not, they're kosher for akrava on the mizbeach. So says Martin Namiach, yeah, we could prove that. Yesh dvarim shehen kumumin ve'enun kumumin. There are things that seem like they should be mumin, but aren't really mumin. V'shachtan aleim b'migdash. And you're still allowed to bring them as a carbon. They would not passel it as a carbon. Avalo b'medina. But these so-called mumin would not be matir b'chor to be shechted in Medina, because it's not really a mum. It's still kadosh and is roi la'krava. Veluhein, eiz she'en lo karnayim, v'rachel she'esh lo karnayim, v'atzimeach, v'atzimim, v'atzomeach. And that's why it's mentioned over here, even though now we're shifting back into a discussion of animals, but we mentioned tzimeach, tzimim, and tzimeach. So all of these chisronos do not really pass the ha'krava. So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ameymar, not l'karnasein, v'zuchrusan imahen, if their horns are taken off, and even the bone that is inside the horn is also taken, that's what we're calling the zachrus. We don't really mean the reproductive organs over here. So psula, that's going to pass the behemah for a carbon. Ve'in podin aleim, and you can't be poda because you can't be poda a carbon when it's a tamim, only when it's a real bal mum. And over here, it's not a mum gamur. It's enough of a mum to pass from a being carbon. Not tlafayim zachrus and imahen. And if the tlafayim are taken off and the hooves, and the bone that's inside of it, psulin viniftin aleim. That's an absolute psul. It could even be poda based on that psul. So meisve. So they ask Rav Chista not to karnayim to lefayim v'zechrus niman psula viniftes aleim. That the brisa puts it all in the same category. That whether it's the karnayim or the tlafayim, that if they are nuttle with the zachrus, with the inner bone that's with it. So in both cases, it's pasul and nifta alehen. But you said, Rav Chista, that there's a difference between the two. That it's lo nifta alehen by the karnayim, it's only nifta alehen by the tlafayim. So lo kasha. Hadi misakure sakure, hadi igumagumi. The brisa is talking about where they're totally uprooted to the point where there's like a hole in the place where it was. Whereas Rav Chista was talking about where they're just chopped down to the surface layer, but it's not totally uprooted to the point that it leaves a cavity where it was. It says in a place where it's totally cut off on the top and the shrushim remain. Is that really going to be pasul or a minhu? But I'll ask you a stira, because there's a Mishnah Maseches Parah that talks about the following about a parah aduma. If you have a parah aduma that everything is red except for its horns or its hooves are black, so cut out that black and then in the kranayim and the tlafayim, in order that the entire parah should be absolutely red, and that would not be a mum that would pass it, and therefore it's perfectly fine. So you see that it's not considered a mum. So tirgama ziri mi iloi zachrus. Ziri explains the Mishnah song that you're able to cut out the part of the point, the tip of the horn, where it's two or three etzbaos, where the zachrus isn't nichnas l'sham, so it doesn't affect the zachrus. Where Rav Chista was talking about, where you remove the horn together with the zachrus, with the bone that's inside of it. That is not the case that the Mishnah Maseches Parah was referring to. Okay, Vaitim, next Mishnah on Amud Beis now. So it says that the Mishnah goes through, again, continuing to discuss different shinuyim in the guf of the Kohen that's considered a mum that would passel him for avoda. Dadin shofen, he has breasts that rest on his lower chest, like that downward. Shalisha, that looks like a woman. Kreso tzava, tiburo yotze, or his belly button juts out, or his beten itself is swollen. So it looks like so it's different than most people, where the makom tiburo, it's more like a hole in the body. It's depressed as opposed to being sticking out. So all of these things make a person a balmum in pasul avoda. So the Mishnah goes through different machlos that make a person a balmum. So nichva, if a person is epileptic, so afilu achas liyamim, even if it doesn't happen on a consistent basis, it's only once in a while. Ruach ktsara ba'alav, he has a ruach shtus that takes over him every once in a while. So he has this mental imbalance where some sort of ruach shtus gets into him every once in a while. So that's considered also to be a mum. Hamu ushpan, someone who has large testicles, ubal gever, or someone who has large gid itself, very long. So all of these are shinuyim in the person's guf that makes a person a balmum in pasala avoda. So once we mention the idea of kresot tzava being a balmum, the Gemara is going to discuss how that happens and what you should do in order to guard against that, against having that disease, that illness of kresot tzava. So Amar Rabbi Abba Breder B'chiyah Baraba, mashtin mayim b'fnei rabim ve'ein shosin mayim b'fnei rabim. A Talmud Chacham should be tzanua in the way that he eats and drinks. He should not drink in front of a lot of people. But he should not be so tzanua in terms of urinating, because that could cause him sakana. Meaning, if he's too embarrassed to go to the bathroom when there are people around, so then he's going to end up holding it in, and that's going to be very bad for him. That's how Rashi understands this line of Gemara. But Tosfos has a different understanding. Tosfos says that in Neim Rabbeinu Tam, that it doesn't mean that a Talmud Chacham shouldn't drink in front of Rabbim, it means that even a person whose derech is to be tzenua, that he doesn't drink in front of Rabbim, he shouldn't act bitznius when he needs to be matal mayim. It's not about a talmud chacham. It's saying, even though your personality may be such that that you're a very private person and you don't like to drink in public, but nevertheless, when going to the bathroom, a person has to be extra careful. The Iyun Yaakov says that had it not been for Rashi or Tosos, he would have said entirely different, that we're talking about the same mayim, that it's mutter to be mashed mayim b'fnei rabim in order that you're not in danger. But if you want to drink the mei raglayim l'shem refua, where there's no iser b'bal tashaksu, because anything that's mishum refua is not an iser of bal tashaksu. So that's in Shulchan Aruch and Yerdeh Simin Pei Aleph. Even though the Shach writes over there that lechachili should be machmir not to drink mei raglayim mishum bal tashaksu. So the mechab means say only a meichel aser, but you shouldn't. So anyway, but it's aser for him to drink b'fnei rabim because it's something that's disgusting to other people. So meaning it says Yin Yaakov, that's what I would have thought it meant. That it's talking about the mayim doesn't mean mayim over here. Don't drink mayim. Drinking mayim in public means drinking mei raglayim. That a person shouldn't, even if for some reason this is what the doctor prescribed and this is what he needs for his health, you're going to do it privately, but you know you shouldn't do it publicly because it's disgusting. V'tani namihachi, and we also have a brayso that says mashtin mayim b'fnei rabim ve'in shosin mayim b'fnei rabim. You could be mashtin in public, you could urinate in public, but do not drink in public. U'maisa be'echad shabikesh lahashtin mayim v'lo hishtin v'nimtza kresel tzava. And one time a person had to go to the bathroom badly and he didn't go, and because of that he suffered from kresel tzava, from a swollen belly. Shmuel itzrichle b'shabata derigla. Shmuel had to go to the bathroom. He had to urinate during the drasha that he was darshing in front of all the people in the halachos of Yantif. So nagdiglima. So they hung a curtain between him and the people so that he could go right away and have some privacy. So asal kamid avua. So Shmuel came to his father. So amalei etin lecha arba mei azuzei vizila hadaruvda. So he said, I'll give you 400 zuz and go and be doresh. To everybody that they shouldn't do what you did, because you shouldn't wait to be matal mayim to the point where until you find a makam tsuna to do it. Ata efshalach, because you're an adam chashuv and you're able to be parisadin in the middle of the drasha and it doesn't cause a delay. So for you it was fine to do and you didn't get sick. But the law of shalei listake, not everyone has assistants that are immediately going to go grab a screen and put up a screen, and they're going to have to wait. If they're going to be so makbid on the tsnius, you have to realize that you're setting an example that everybody's going to see. So if everybody's so makbid on such a thing, then it's going to cause everyone to suffer from that, and that would be a terrible result. Marbar Avashi Istrich Aguda de Gamla. Marbar Avashi had to be matal mei raglayim while he was standing on a bridge. So Ashton, so he urinated. Amrulei Chamascha Kaasya. Your mother-in-law's coming, and you should act more bitznius. Samarluhu Buudna. Even in her ear, I would do this. Because if you have to go, you have to go, and it doesn't matter how close in proximity you are to people that you would think you'd be embarrassed. V'tebli mishum alka. So the Brisa mentioned that a person wanted to urinate and he didn't, and it turned out that kresel tzava. So ask Gemara, how do you know that it was because of that? Maybe it was mishum alka. It could be that some other thing happened where he drank water that had a leech in it, and that's what caused his belly problems. How do you know that it was a result of his bathroom habits? So says Gemara, b'shoseis. He wasn't able to be matal mayim properly. It came out drip by drip. So that was an indication that was kresel tzava because of something to do with mei raglayim, and that's why he got very sick. So that's the first point about how a person should not hold himself in, because it could be very dangerous. Okay, so now the Gemara brings a brisa that discusses how preventing yourself from mei raglayim can cause ikur, can cause a person to become infertile. So Tan Rabbanan, shnei nekavim yesh ba'adam. Person has two nekavim, two holes in his body that both end at the rosh hagid, at the end of his eiver. Echad motzi shasan ve'echad motzi shichva zera. One that urine comes out of, and one that shichva zera comes out of. Ve'in bein zel lezeh ele keklipas hashum. The barrier between them is as thin as a garlic peel. It's very, very narrow barrier between them. If a person has to urinate, and because of the lachatz that it causes him by holding it in, it causes a hole in between that barrier, between the where the meraglayim comes out and where the shechva zara comes out, it's going to turn him into an akar. So Amrei Shlakish, the Torah, what does the Torah mean when it says you shouldn't have an akar and akara and bebem techa? If you make yourself like a behema when you have to go to the bathroom and you don't wait, a behema just goes. If you ever gotten horseback riding or something, right? You can all of a sudden the animal stops and you're like, why is this thing not moving? And you're kicking it, it doesn't move, and then because it had to go. So if it has to go, that's it. It just stops whatever it's doing and it will go, and then it will take off as soon as it's done. So you should have the same tznius like a behema on that level. That it's a bracha that you should always have talmidim. Akar doesn't mean literally that a person shouldn't be childless. It means he shouldn't be akar from talmidim. He should always have talmidim to teach. That when you daven for children, that your tefillah should be listened to, and it should produce peiros. So that's what it means. When is that bracha going to be? When you make yourself like a behema and you don't prevent yourself from urinating until you get to a makam tsnua, you do it right away like a behema that's matal mayim wherever it happens to be. Papa lo mayim lo al kli cheres v'lo al makam kasha. A person should not urinate onto a kli cheres because and then I mean they would urinate into a kli and then pour it out into the river. V'lo al makam kasha, nor on hard ground. Damarav hani maduri de Bavel, these places in Bavel that were sort of on an incline, mahadri mayim le'ein etan, they would bring the mayim to a mayan called Ein Etan, that the Kohen Gadol would tovel in the waters of that mayan on Yom HaKippurim, and since it gets to a makom kadosh, that's not an appropriate place to urinate or to pour one's urine, and therefore you should only be mashed on afar tichuach, on like soft ground that will absorb the urine in it. Amar Abaye, hai it's a woman should not be matal neiraglayim when she's mamish right in front of a baby because it's considered to be an act of chutzpah. Agisa leslanba, but if she's standing off to the side of the katan, then there's no iser of going to the bathroom. Tanya Mshumim Liel Omer Omer Achozer. If a person starts defecating and then he sort of pulls it back and it goes back into his body, so maybe Adam Lidei Hidroken, it causes a certain type of stomach ailment. Silon hachozer, if a person starts urinating and pulls it back, maybe adam l'day yerakon, because it's another type of disease. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, I think it's a jaundice is yarkon. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Ketina, Amar Reish Lakish. Dom Rava, if a person has a lot of dam in his body, meaning he doesn't do bloodletting on a regular basis, which was considered to be a very healthy thing to do, so shchin Rava will cause him to have shchin, to have boils on his body, because he doesn't expel blood every once in a while. Rav Maisha has a famous tshuva when he was asked about donating blood. Rav Maisha says it can't be that it's called chavala because it was considered because expelling some blood from your body on a regular basis was considered such a basic thing of normal healthy living in the times of Chazal that we can't say that it has now become chavala. So to say that it's no longer healthy, okay, fine, that you could say. But to say that which was healthy living has now, it's changed to the point where it's become chavala, he said that you can't call chavala. So that's he discussed. That's why it's mutter for a person to give blood. It's not called that he's being chavala ba'atman. He was asked about a case where you get paid for giving blood. I don't think they do that anymore. Now, when you donate blood, you donate blood. You don't get paid anymore for giving blood. But that was his discussion. Shichva zer rabba, a person is married, but he's not mishamish mitaso when he's supposed to be, and because of that, the shichva zera sort of builds up. Tzoras rabba, that's going to cause him to have tzoras. So tzoa rabba, if he has a lot of tzoa in his guf, hidroken rabba, that will cause him to have the disease called hidroken. Meiraglayim ravin, if he has a lot of meiraglayim in his body, yirkon rabba, so then he's going to have jaundice. Ruach katris ba'alav, so we said that amongst the mumin is a ruach katris that's ba'alav. Mainihu, what exactly is that mum of ruach katris? Tana Ruach ben Nefalim Ba'alav. Ruach Shtus that happens to take over him every once in a while, that he becomes like a Shota. Hamu'ushban Uval Gever. So what does that mean? So Tana Meshuban Ba'beitzim. It's a mum in the Beitzim. Ubal Gever Ba'girin. Balgever is a problem in the Gid itself. So Tana Meshuban Ze Hakayan Hagaravtan Ze Balkik. Meshuban is Kayan, Garavtan is a Balkik. Kayan Babetzim, Garavta Bagid. Viad Kama, and how big does the Gid have to be in order for it to be considered a Balmum? So Machvi Rav Yehuda Ad Ruchuva, you know, all the way down to the knee. If the Gid extends all the way that far down to the knee, then you know that's a person with a problem. That's a Balmum. Tanya Rav Lozman Yaakov Omer Ad Ruchuva Apostle Lemailam in Ruchuva Kasher, but higher up than that is going to be Kasher. Ikeda Amri, and some are more Mekel Ad Ruchuva Kasher Lematam in Ruchuva Apostle. That Ad Rukuva is going to be kosher, but if it dips lower down than that, then it's going to be pasul. Okay, we'll stop there, and we'll pick up with the second class mission on the page tomorrow.